fallible. This is a place for searching for truth. But we are believers. We believe in intellectual freedom. We believe in justice. We believe in compassion and concern for each other and for the whole world. We believe in commitment to those ideals which make us caring and active in the struggle for human dignity. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular, those of you who are visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after the worship for coffee and conversation. Information about our church is available for new member at the new member desk during our coffee hour and from any other people who have gathered here that you are conversing with. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards that are found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. And then we'll send you our church newsletter for a few months to let you know about the programs and activities that are going on here at the church. We welcome you here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. If you have children with you, they're invited to attend our religious education program when the children leave later for their classes. We have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. Adults are encouraged to attend the adult religious education programming starting at 11:50. If you need information about the nursery, you can see the usher. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Okay, we're going to have announcements, and I have one here that's printed. Starting next Sunday, the second service will begin at 1:15 instead of 1:30. So some of you sometimes go to the second service, get here a few minutes earlier. If anyone has other announcements, I guess you need to make an announcement from the microphone. Okay. Okay, we'll go to the mic because it won't be heard by everyone. Oh, here's another one.
Good morning. I'm Erin Vigneault-Dimmick, and I want to announce an exhibit that's taking place in Edwardsville. It's at the Edwardsville Arts Center, which is on the campus of the Edwardsville High School, and it's sponsored by the University Museum at SIUE. And I co-curated it. It is an exhibit of artwork of a renowned metalsmith and sculptor. Her name is Agnes Mytinsky-Powell, and she's a survivor of the Holocaust. There's also an informational video of interviews with her as part of the exhibit, and all her artwork is up. I'm going to put a card up about it, but you can also visit the Edwardsville Arts Center website to find out more about it, and I welcome you to come and join our community in celebrating this artist.
Okay, another announcement here. Four Saturday lunch is upon us. It's next week, so we won't be having church before it comes again. To simplify operations, we're asking any individuals who can to contribute a dollar or two or your spare change or whatever you wish to help defray the cost of the groceries. And I guess it's going to be prepared by the committee that is working. Juliet, who do they give the money to or where do they put it? Robin isn't here, but okay. If you don't know Robin Berkeley and you want to contribute, ask someone. Okay, give it to Sabrina also. And if you want to give actual tangible objects, we will be delighted to accept donations of personal care items like bathroom tissue, toothpaste, toothbrushes, hair care products, razor, soap, skincare, laundry detergent, bleach, and so forth. And of course, we would be very grateful to anyone who is willing to help with the serving food and distributing the goods and the cleanup. So you can see Robin or Kathleen for questions, concerns, or comments about that, or Sabrina, too. She's right there. All right. We're going to begin our morning service now with the prelude. Thank you.
morning. My name is Rose Schwab. I am the intern at First Church in St. Louis, and I am your guest preacher today. Woo. I am a hole in a flute that the divine's breath moves through. Listen to this music. I am the concert from the mouth of every creature singing with the myriad chorus. I am a hole in a flute that the divine's breath moves through. Listen to this music. Welcome to worship this morning. We will now light our chalice.
As the chalice is lighted, join me with reciting the words that should be up there soon. Someone keeps bringing it. Join me now. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Our opening hymn will be number 205, and it should be on the wall in case you don't know it, Amazing Grace. Some of us now have a choice between being a wretch or a soul. That was new to me. Juliet Cornwillis, our religious education director, you may be seated. Juliet Cornwillis, our religious education director, is going to give the intergenerational story today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, this morning I'm sharing with you the story of Brave Squish Rabbit by Catherine Battersby. Squish was just a little rabbit, but being little led to really big fears. Squish was afraid of many things, like storms, totally scary, and in particular, everybody should be afraid of chickens, right? So chickens. I'm gonna leave that there because it's very scary. So Squish was afraid of chickens. And especially the dark, because the dark was so big and it was everywhere. Squish tried to hide from the dark, but wherever he went, it followed. It's very hard. Playing with his friend Twitch helped Squish forget his fears. I'm pretty sure Twitch is a squirrel. I'm not sure exactly, but that's my theory. One day, Squish went to meet Twitch at their secret treehouse, but when he arrived, Twitch was gone. She'd left a note, but Squish couldn't read it, because it was written in squirrel. Outside, it got darker and darker, and inside, Squish got scared, goosebumply. Squish worried that Twitch was trapped in the dark, in a storm, with a chicken. It's bad. It's very scary. So there was only one thing to do. Squish prepared for the worst and stepped out into the dark. See, he faced a great many things. These things that looked like chickens. Next slide. That, by the way, weren't chickens, so that was good. And then he kept going. I said there was a storm. Good thing he had on his helmet. There seemed to be some hail. Yeah, next slide. Oh, yeah. Oh, phew. Okay, it sort of settled down. He could maybe take off his helmet. And finally, Squish saw something. It wasn't storms or the chickens like he feared, but it was a bit dark. But not at all scary. Squish was just a little rabbit, but being brave had made him feel much bigger. That's our story for today. And now we're going to sing the children out.
Gratitude or celebration that you bring to church with you this morning that you would like to share. There'll be a time for sorrows after this, but right now come to the microphone if you have gratitudes or celebrations. Surely in a whole week.
Hi, I'm Casey Luker. I'd just like to say I'm glad I made it here today.
My daughter was gone on a school trip this week, and she was supposed to be back Friday night, and their plane got canceled, and then they were coming back Saturday, and their plane got canceled. She arrived this morning, yay. So. Yay.
My husband, who was very sick, has once again miraculously made it through another huge crisis. He is now getting PT, OT, speech therapy. No, he did not have a stroke. This is all related to lungs. And is doing remarkably well, and I hope to have him home next week. So the second thing I have to say, which is absolutely great, whoever shoveled the snow, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, the Johnsons and I joined Lorna and Roger Thorogood at the Art Museum Friday evening for sort of a farewell dinner for them because they're moving to Delaware soon. It was a lovely dinner, but we imbibed a little too much and ate way too much. They had really good food, but there was too much of it. And I finished my dessert last night because I had to bring it home with me to finish. But it was lovely, and if you don't get to see Roger or Lorna and you know them, if you don't get to see them, you know, send them an email. It's still the same, and you know, wish them well in their adventures in Delaware. Now, anyone who wants to come to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns.
Concern right there. Hi. My mom had surgery on her knee on Wednesday, so if you kind of keep her in your thoughts, she's the first day was okay, but you know, it's the second and third and fourth day where the pain really comes in. So it was just arthroscopic. It wasn't a replacement, thank goodness. But she was supposed to come visit in March, and now it's been pushed back a little bit because of the surgery. But just keep her in your thoughts so she can get a good recovery.
I shared this on UU Friends, and it's kind of a joy and a concern all mixed into one, too. But I wanted to say thank you to everybody who sent good thoughts to my dad, John. We took him to Barnes. He's fighting pancreatic cancer right now, and we took him to Barnes with some unexplained pain about a week ago. And after several days of absolutely no help from any medication, including IV morphine that they gave him, the pain started to lessen on its own. And so now they're thinking that the very extreme chemo regimen that he was on was causing that pain. So that's my joy, is that he's out of pain and he feels better every day, that this poison isn't in him anymore. The concern, though, is that his tumor shrank with the chemo that he took, but it shrank the wrong direction. So it's still laying up against a pretty major vein, so they can't do the surgery that they need to do for him yet. So they're doing radiation and a less aggressive chemo for another 6 weeks, and we're going to reassess then. So if you'd continue to keep John in your prayers, I'd appreciate it.
May all the gratitudes and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts. A burden shared becomes a load lightened.
We will now have several minutes of silence, followed by spoken words and a song. May we breathe deeply every day of our lives, knowing that the breath is a tool for calmness and peace. We are grateful for our breath, so, so grateful for the air that feeds us in every second. We are reminded by our breath that we are living in this moment. And may that knowledge give us the courage to go on. May we be courageous in our lives, for we need courage like we need air. Come in, courage, let us breathe you in. Sit us up straight and remind us to breathe deeply as we face our lives. Please join me for Spirit of Life, hymn number 123. The first reading that we have today is from a fellow named Friedrich Schleiermacher. I first learned about Schleiermacher when I went to a UU clergy group in the area called Prairie Group, which I'm sure most of you have heard of. And when I found out that the topic was Schleiermacher, I was like, oh my God, just kill me now. I was not excited for it. But throughout this weekend, I came to really appreciate his work. So I hope that you will bear with this next reading and try to glean something from it.
When, in immediate self-consciousness, we find ourselves to be absolutely dependent, there are therein combined our own finite being and the infinite being of God. The feeling of dependence is not accidental, but is an essential element of human life, and does not even vary from person to person, but is identical in all developed consciousness. Okay, following that, we will now have an offering to support the work of this church. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the money you give reflect what you receive? As you give to our plate this morning, you are invited to consider how your spiritual life, the life of meaning and value and purpose, are enhanced through your giving. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given. Thank you. to the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings.
The second reading is a passage from the opening of the Torah, the book that in English is known as the book of Genesis. It uses the word man in it, but it isn't a placeholder for humanity. In this story, man is created first, and from his body, the woman's. The brand of feminism I know includes men, so I proudly use this text. Plus, on a side note, this is a story in which a man creates another being from his body. And in our world, only female people get to give birth. So don't let anybody tell you that the Bible isn't LGBTQ friendly. This is Genesis 2:7. Then God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Schleiermacher says that we ought to look for meaning in our deepest needs, that we name the divine by naming our absolute dependency. Several years ago, I went swimming in the blue, clear water of the Guadalupe River in Texas. I swam upstream and I found myself going over an underwater cliff. The water got shallow, turned pale yellow, and I stood on this ledge and continued upstream on foot. I came to a second ledge, this one at chest level that had water flowing over it. I climbed up there and I saw that this ledge was indented with deep pools that the water ran through. Some of the pools were long, so you could sit in them floating downstream and see people's feet at eye level. In one of these longer passages, a giant rock blocked the passageway, and I stood above on the ledge and watched as a young boy disappeared underneath the rock and appeared on the other side. He had gone through an underwater passageway. I wanted to try, so I jumped in, dunked under, and I dove down through the hole. The little boy's body was slim, but mine was too wide at the hips, and I got stuck. And let me tell you, in that moment, what I was absolutely dependent on was air. I needed breath more than I needed anything else, more than I'd ever needed anything, so absolutely. So, Schleiermacher, I would name the breath as our deepest dependency. And I wouldn't be the first, because whole religions are founded on the breath. Whole religions use the breath as their primary spiritual practice. As the story goes, God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So this sermon could just stop right here, because there is little more that we are dependent upon than breath. We could just say, we found it. We found the window into the soul of the universe. It's breath. But the Hebrew word for breath, ruach, has more than one meaning. It's translated into English in many ways, but in Hebrew, it's all one word. So if we want to go deeper into the poetry of the Torah and to better understand what this text means about dependence, then we can turn to these other meanings of the word ruach, for they are different angles on the same idea. Ruach is translated as many things, like spirit or wind. And it is beautiful to think about being dependent, absolutely dependent upon the spirit, to need the divine like one needs breath, or to be dependent upon the wind. But there is one translation that I love the most. It is the meaning of the word breath that saved me when I could not breathe. For ruach also means courage. And it is courage that we need like air. I couldn't summon the breath part of ruach. That connection to my life force was gone. So instead, I summoned the courage part. And it saved me. One moment I was stuck, my hip bones firm against the rocks, panicking, and then I summoned my courage from somewhere within me, pushed forward with all my strength, and broke through that hole. Listen again to the passage. God breathed courage into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living being. God breathed courage into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living being. First courage, then living. The logic of this passage is that in order to live, we need courage. We need courage like we need breath. If we aren't courageous in our lives, then we experience a loss of life that is different but similar to the loss of not having breath. But I don't have to tell you about courage, because you know how courageous you've had to be. I know that you have all been incredibly courageous in your lives, and not because you were called to be a hero, not because it was a moment of truth where you were stuck underneath a rock, but because it is required of you to live. We don't only need courage when we're stuck underneath a rock. We need it in our everyday lives. We need courage to look at our bank account. We need courage to be honest, to invite people over, to face illness, to ask for forgiveness, to try to create the truly beloved community that includes all people. We need courage all the time. Courage is so linked to our life force that it could be thought of as a primary spiritual practice. It's not a bad thing. It's not bad to have to be courageous. It's great. It means that we are connected to our life. It means that we've got something on the line that we care about. I wonder, what do you need to be courageous about right now? As the spring turns and we are asked to think about life, what would you do if you were to really be courageous? However it is that we came to be, we are these earthen vessels of courage and breath that we are. We are meant to breathe deeply. I remember those first breaths that I pulled those breaths in from inside of me. And that is where our courage comes from, too. We have a choice to be courageous in our lives or to experience a type of death. It is my deepest wish for humanity to recognize how precious our lives are, how beautiful it is to be dependent upon the air. And I hope that we have courage because we can break free of the things that have got us stuck. We can go back to the breath at any moment and be fed by the air. Any breath we take can be a perfect comfort if we let it. And if you can't summon your courage, summon the breath and breathe deeply and see where that gets you. And if you can't feel your life force, be courageous and see if that makes you feel it. And when the time comes that you no longer have breath, summon your courage. Please join me for the closing hymn, Blue Boat Home.
Thank you.
May you be courageous in your lives. May you breathe deeply this week. Go in peace.